following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and welcome to 2014. I am your wonderful host on the queue at thequeuenow.com, as well as on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and worldwide on the web
at tapdetroit.com and radiofoodbar.com.
Welcome to the queue, the best mod liberal radio show west and east of the Mississippi River, and in the entire year of 2014. There has been no Q shows better than this one in 2014. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay.
Then, what?
Did you break the rule?
I did. I broke the rule.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the first week of 2014, and we are bringing you a huge show. The government will maintain the right to search you at the border. Obamacare is now in full effect. We will discuss the impact of that bad boy. And Andy Eckel makes his long-awaited bumpy return to the show. Plus, we have a game on, game off, and tons of fun for you to listen to. Welcome to the Q 2014 edition. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Eckel, how have you been?
Can't complain. Can't complain at all. Thank you.
Eckel is back.
I'm bowing.
Now, before we get into that, how was your New Year's?
It was great. It was fun. It was fantastic. Really just...
What'd you end up doing for New Year's?
I went to my buddy's house, and he fried up 25 pounds of king crab legs, a couple filet mignon. So, you know, it's
just not even fair. See, and here's the funny thing. I know the buddy he's talking about, and I'm not allowed to be their friend.
Like, no, actually it's not. It's not that guy. It's not who you're thinking of. It was another person.
Never mind then.
But it's getting to that point now where you can tell that we're getting older, and it's just getting more fun to just have small parties. I think I only had 2 beers.
Right.
You know, there was only maybe 8 people over there total.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's the way I like it. See, when me and Andy first started hanging out, he was a lot younger, and I was younger. But then again, I was still older than Andy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was in a different mental capacity and status than he was. You know, he was young and just finally getting out of the military and trying to find himself and all that. No, it's not that you were I didn't say irresponsible.
No. But here's the thing. Yeah, I was in the Air Force. I came back home. But when I came back home and got back up with you from Stefanina's, you were in a serious relationship, engaged, married. So it's very difficult. You know, I understand where you're coming from because, you were in that marriage phase where you had to deal with what she wants to do.
Yep.
You know, and I was still in that single phase. Well, I'm still in that single phase, and I get to do whatever I want to do.
Right. And so, I've always fought with this because as I continued on with my relationships and having kids and all this, Andy always seemed to just not want to hang out anymore. Like, he found his... Here's what's really funny. Andy kind of strived away from hanging out with me with the argument of, well, you got a wife and kids, and I'm single, and I'm looking to do that. To go hang out with a bunch of dudes that got girlfriends that they're all getting married and taking trips together because they're damn near married families.
One happened. One of our friends is married.
Two. There's the salt and pepper haired guy.
He's no longer a friend.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
And it's funny too, because here's the funny part. He defriended us on Facebook. That's how we knew that he didn't want to be friends with us no more. And then it just escalates from there. But it's funny that if somebody defriends you. Huh?
Well, that's part of my rant. This is part of my rant that I'm going to get into. I want to hold up.
Okay.
But I do have a question for you. I do have a question in regards to this.
Ask away.
What did you just... Oh, my God, man. Have you never worked in a professional radio station before in your entire life?
Hey, I was good. You keep talking. I just couldn't hear you for a second.
Now, here's the situation.
All right.
Why did he defriend you guys? Like, is there a story there that's deep, or is it just, was it really just cosmetic crap?
No. In all honesty, it's because he... did a lot of contracting work, and our other friends have hired him to do contracting work before. Right. He'll get to a point where he doesn't know what he's doing or whatever, and he just wants to stop, so he just stops answering his phone. He doesn't call anybody back.
So he becomes unprofessional.
So instead of trying to put their friendship on a strain, Buddy A, who I'm still friends with, decided to go with another guy who is very professional, does this stuff on a daily basis,
of course,
calls him, you call him and he answers the phone and everything like that, instead of Buddy B.
Right, fair enough.
Who I'm not friends with anymore.
I get it.
And then he defriended everybody A and everybody else that is friends
was connected
with buddy A.
To it. Yeah, yeah, I get it. I understand.
So, right, and in all honesty, I mean, you know, it was kind of good because there were some other issues there to, you know.
Right, yeah. See,
not Andy's just surface issues.
I love Andy's friends, but, like, see, like, they have no respect for me. Like, and I get it. Like, I can tell, like, they don't hate me or anything. They're cordial. They're cordial right. people. Like, right. I don't knock them, and I'm not going to say their names. And it's not fair to say their names when they're not here to defend themselves.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? But he's got a certain group of friends that he likes to hang out with. And whenever I'm around those people, it's obvious that I'm the odd man out. And I get it. Like, that's cool with me. My only argument has always been that, like, I've known Andy way longer than he's known any of them. Like,
correct.
Like 10 years. Like, Rocky has known him longer than I've known Andy. Do you see what I'm saying? His buddy Rocky. He's got a friend named Rocky. Yeah, Rocky's known you for close. At least about 5 years more than me.
No, you got to remember, man. Okay, so I moved into that house. Rocky is my next door neighbor, or was my next door neighbor. He lived next to my parents. That's how I met Rocky.
Right, right, right.
And we moved into that house. I believe I was either a junior or senior in high school, and at that, right, that's about the time that I started Stephanina's. So,
but my point is this: like, there's a, you know, but I understand because I'm older and I'm a little wiser, and he was younger and a little bit more stupid, and I love him for that. It's just one of those situations. He's now becoming older and wiser. He wants to have right. smaller parties for New Year's Day and all this other crap. Like, he just explained that live just, on the radio just, to everybody. Know, anyway, little, but little my thing was always, like, I understand that there's sections of life. People come into your life, you're with them, you hang out with them, you're good friends. It's not that you forget about them or you're no longer friends, but people move on and go in different directions.
Right.
I get it. Like, I understand it. It's still difficult to deal with sometimes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't matter who you are, what your age is. But.
So, apparently, I heard that apparently, on average, you change friends every 7 years.
But that's probably about true.
About every 7 years or so, your friends kind of do a little rotation.
We reconnected around 2004-ish, and by 2010, I would say 2010 is where we kind of stopped really hanging out all that much. Because by that time, I had Reagan. She was a baby.
Yeah.
I was more at home and stuff like that. He was kind of hanging out with his other group. So that's about right.
Yeah.
That's about 6-7 years, somewhere in that range.
Yeah,
that,
but at the same point, I knew that I could always call you and come over and hang out or do whatever with you. And those are the kind
of
friendships.
None of them can do for him what I can do for him. That's all I'm saying about
it. Oh, I know, man. Your left hand is just like my right hand.
Exactly.
But, you know, in all honesty, those are the friendships that I value the most, are the ones that you can... You don't have to talk every day or once a
absolutely
week or anything like that.
Oh, yeah,
you can
yeah.
just, you know, and you can just call them out of the blue and just pick up where you guys left off.
Yeah,
those are the ones that are, I mean,
those are the good
are special.
What kills me, I love being a father and I love being a husband.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that, like, there are just times where I am stuck at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I am an
outside. If you can't tell, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Bland, the host of The Q, is kind of a social butterfly. That's kind of his thing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, being the social butterfly that I am, working in the industries that I work in, I kind of like to get out there and mingle with the people. You know what I'm saying? Especially my friends. I like to hang out with them. And I like to see them. But sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work out for me, and that's life. All right, Bobby, it's been 8 minutes. We've already been talking about this other stuff. Bobby, how was your New Year's?
My New Year's was awesome. I kind of did what Andy did, actually.
I've got a bone to pick with you, you piece of crap. Yeah.
What's that?
I just said that. 2014 is the year of Mark being selfish, okay?
Oh, yeah?
The year of selfishness is what I am calling 2014. I am going to be a very selfish individual because I was a really nice, kind, caring individual last year. I did a lot of things for people. I even, like, helped old producers get onto my show and stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I texted you last night at midnight, Happy New Year.
Did you?
And you didn't even reply, you piece of crap.
I'm serious. Hold on now. You have to understand all those cell phone things. I got 30 messages at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was dead asleep.
Yeah, I get it.
Sorry.
But here's the thing. By the time that he would have maybe woke up.
Oh, yeah, now that.
Like, he could have at least hit me back at that point and been like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I missed this last night. Happy New Year. No, nothing. Until I saw his large bulbousness walking through my door here. And I love him to death. I try to defend him all the time.
I actually went to bed before the new year.
Right.
I took my kids and we celebrated the new year at 11 o'clock when New York happened.
Nice. That's the bonus, dude. I learned that. That was like my daughter's not going to hear this. That's what we did too. I had to learn that from my neighbor across the street last year.
Yeah.
Because I let my daughter stay up till midnight last year and it was just a bear getting her to sleep. We did 11 o'clock, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Kisses, hugs, dancing around a little bit, straight to bed. Loved it.
My kids were in bed, asleep. I was asleep by 11:30.
Wow.
And then this morning, when I woke up, went and celebrated. We didn't get to celebrate Christmas during Christmas with my dad, so we went and celebrated Christmas with my dad, came home, took a little power nap. We're getting ready to move, so we packed up some stuff, and then I came here.
Yeah, you're moving to a larger area.
I'm in the same complex, but we're moving to a 250 square foot bigger apartment. We're trying to prepare ourselves in the correct way for purchasing a home, so we're moving up in the price that we pay every month, right, so that we can make sure we're prepared.
Not too far, but far enough to where you're like taxing yourself a little bit, so correct, that you can see you can handle it. I get it.
Absolutely.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the queue. I want to definitely talk about this. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about with your friend's situation.
All right.
I got my rant of the week.
Sure.
Now, Bobby knows that I get in on my rants.
We need to come up with a theme song for your
We
rant.
Should come up with a theme song, but I don't think that it's going to happen anytime soon, so we might as well just move on without that. Let's be honest. But my rant is I hate when people go out of their way to unfriend you on social media without any reason. That's my rant for this week. Yep. I don't usually just say what the rant is, but check this out. I have an old friend who has a unique lifestyle, and he denounced that unique lifestyle. I'm not going to say his name. He denounced that unique lifestyle and kind of found God. Okay.
So he went from being a swinger to being a God freak. Okay, I understand it.
Type thing. Okay. He became a God freak. And we reconnected within the last 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Basically via social media.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And so we really never talked on social media. There was a couple of times where I tried to see if he wanted to hang out and catch up. And he was very cordial about it. He turned it out. He's like, listen, you know, I'm not really ready to meet up with you face to face and talk to it. But like, this was one of my best friends. This was my Andy Eckel. Mm-hmm. This, but for in the late 90s. Like, this is someone I came up in the radio business with. This is somebody who was my rock to lean on when my best friend Jason passed away. This was a very good friend of mine. And if he's listening, he knows I'm talking about him. You know, everybody else doesn't need to know who it is. But this guy was like my rock.
Okay.
And a really, really good friend of mine. He partied with me on my 21st birthday. Like, just great memories in my life. You know, big moments. He was the guy that was a part of them. So, anyway, he becomes God-free, in my opinion. And we started talking on social media, and I asked him if he wanted to hang out. And he's like, no, I'm just not really ready to meet up and talk to you. Now, to a little preface story for this. A few years ago when he switched the game up on himself, he went through this two-month period where he would talk to me, and then he wouldn't talk to me, and he would talk to me, and then there was a couple of times we were supposed to meet up because he was kind of like, you know, dealing with some real heavy stuff.
Right.
And he just no-showed, completely no-showed, and then I lost track of him for like a good 2 years. Okay. Solidly. Okay.
Okay.
So when we reconnect, I said, hey, you want to hang out? And he's like, no, I would rather not. I'm just not there mentally yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of in my own spot right now. And I was cool with that. Like, I had no problem with that whatsoever. That was cool with me. But so this past Christmas day, a few weeks ago, I decided to wish him a Merry Christmas. Just out of the complete blue. Hey, Merry Christmas. And now, mind you, we hadn't talked on social media or even interacted for a good month and a half at this point. Right. Like, I not posted on his post. He didn't post on my post. Just no interaction whatsoever. He comes back with some, well, we need to praise God for this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 because he's the reason we're all here and this, that, and there. Now, I said Merry Christmas. I didn't say, hey, what is your beliefs on this person? But I didn't take it personally. I just kind of hit him back with the Markism. Andy knows what a good Markism is. I just hit him back with, so were you wishing me a Merry Christmas back, or was that you just praising God? You know what I'm saying? Because it really came off as a praising God, and I just said Merry Christmas. And he was like, well, God's the reason why we're all here in the first place anyway, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I was just wishing you a Merry Christmas. Hope your family's doing well. And then he still didn't say Merry Christmas or anything back. He just said, hope your family's doing well. Cool. So a couple days goes by, and I saw that he had posted something. Or there was something that was said, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, Frank, this guy, he would love this. You know what I'm saying? So I went to go post it on his page, and page not found. Page doesn't exist. Out of the complete blue. Literally, a few days later. No. Out of a few days later after the Merry Christmas thing, you see what I'm saying? Like 4 or 5 days have passed.
Right.
All of a sudden, boom, he's gone. Now.
But page doesn't exist, page not found. That also stands for the page has been deactivated.
Could be deactivated, but he's still friends with someone else that I know.
Okay, so you can see him on another friend's mutual friend list.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then in that case, yeah, you're blocked.
Right, exactly. And it makes no sense to me whatsoever because it's like, bro, we don't have any beef. We hardly ever talk.
Right.
So there's no way for the beef to exist. I wished you a Merry Christmas. You kind of just talked about God a lot. You didn't wish me one back, but you just kind of did your thing. Okay, cool. Fine. So be it. You know, I didn't push the issue. You know, I just said, hey, did you wish me one back or were you just praising God? Well, he's the reason here. Okay. No big deal. I was just wishing you a Merry Christmas. Hope the family's doing well. He hits me back with a hope the family's doing well also. And we left it at that. Like, there was no beef, no problems, no issues.
One thing I can tell you, too, though, for sure is, like, I have some friends who they, you know, they go through their friends list, like, once a month, and they get rid of people they don't talk to that often. And, you know, he may have realized at that point, you know, Mark and I don't really talk a whole lot, and just dropped you off not thinking about it as he was cleaning his page.
It's tough for me to believe that, and I agree with you, but it's tough for me to believe that one for the safe fact that our lives were entrenched together from like 1994 until 2001.
Our lives were entrenched. Here's what I want to know though. How are you not mentally in a place to meet up with somebody unless you were the cause of whatever lifestyle he went into. I don't know the story, but I'm using drugs as an example.
Let's say homosexuality, I can understand that. I'm willing to put it out there.
Okay.
You go from being homosexual. We know Mark's married, has two kids, happily married for almost a decade as of this October.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There is absolutely nothing gay about Mark. Mark's not trying to hook people up with gay people. Mark's not involving himself in the gay culture whatsoever. Not that I have a problem with it, just not my thing.
Right.
Okay.
You swing your way, I'll swing mine. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, I had no influence on that part of your life whatsoever in the least bit.
All right, fair enough.
Zero.
Yeah.
So you make this big switch. That's your choice. I respect it. I think you're a good person. But at the same point, you make that switch. What's that got to do with me? In fact, when you made that switch, we weren't talking all that often. I'd catch you once every 3 to 4 months if I had your phone number. And that would be a one conversation for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. You know, tops.
Right, right.
And then I wouldn't talk to you for 3 or 4 months. Yeah. Like, again, there was no involvement in your life at that time.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't understand that. How are you not mentally in a place to talk to one of your friends that you were literally entrenched with? I mean, I could talk to somebody from second grade, you know, second, third grade, because I went to a Catholic school from first grade to sixth grade. And, you know, any of those people, it was either last year or the year before, we were actually talking about doing a grade school reunion because we had all kind of lost track. We did
an eighth grade reunion.
Yeah, we were talking about doing some stuff like that because I haven't seen some of these guys.
Doing an eighth grade reunion is a lot like doing a ninth grade or a high school reunion. Well, like most of the people,
it was a small school, and we hadn't seen each other in probably 6 years because we all went off to different high schools. Most of the people in my class.
You want to go to McClure High School? No, nobody wants to go to McClure High School, man.
It wasn't McClure.
Well, hey, let me put it this way.
But most of the guys went off to the military, so it was one time that we actually had everybody in town.
In eighth grade, you went off to the military? That's awesome.
One of those people actually used to be a producer of ours on 1380.
One of what people?
One of the people that I went to grade school with.
Really?
That I lost track of after sixth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Which person?
Ben Boyd.
Really? Ben Boyd was?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Ben's a good dude. He's over at Camo X now, man. I like Ben. He's a really cool cat.
Former producer at 1380. But the point being that I lost track of him for however many years. The first time I saw him again was at that station. And, you know.
La-di-da. I get it.
Yeah, I still haven't hung out with him or anything. You know, he's in a different point in his life, and I'm in a different point in my life. But we could still get together and talk about the old days because we used to hang out all the time. I mean, right.
Well, I find it really weird. So that was my rant. Ladies and gentlemen, have a reason. If you're going to hate on someone, if you're going to have a problem with somebody, at least have a legitimate reason. And if you run into these people, at least be willing to tell them why. That's all I ask. I'm not saying that you
have a sack.
I'm not saying that you don't have the right to do it. There's people I've blocked on Facebook and social media, okay? I get it. Like, I'm not knocking you for what you do. I'm just saying, at least have some, like, relative understanding to why you're doing it. Because the person on the other end of the spectrum, in most cases, is a relatively smart individual. They're not complete morons. Mm-hmm. And they probably know that you guys haven't had conversations in a while. They know that there's no real beef between you. So you go and do something as brazen as that, because nowadays social media is entrenched in our lives pretty deeply.
Correct.
They're going to notice. And they're going to question why you would do something like that, because there was really no signs. There was no red flags.
I have a friend who we have been friends since I was probably 6 years old. All of a sudden dropped off on my Facebook page, but she still talks to my mom. Like, I've known this girl since I was 6 years old. She still talks to my mom on Facebook, but she had a third child, and I tried to, you know, I talked to her all the way up to the point of having that third child, but now all of a sudden, like, the day she went into the hospital, she was off my Facebook page. I've tried to re-add her. I've sent her messages. Hey, just trying to make sure you're not dead, because I haven't heard from you. And then my mom was on the news the other day because of this whole Target situation.
Okay.
My mom was on the news, and she emails my mom and was like, hey, just so you know, I got this lawyer friend who's trying to put the case together on Target and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, great. Well, at least I know she's not dead.
Trying to put the case together on Target. Stop it. Stop it, America. Literally, stop it. You went to buy some Christmas gifts, and some smart young 19-year-olds decided to steal your credit card information. It wasn't Target's wish or hopes or dreams that you had your credit trashed.
Yeah.
Stop it. You don't need to sue Target. What you're trying to do is be a B-I-T-C-H. You're trying to be one of those people that is getting up on the system. You know what? I saw a really interesting YouTube video.
Uh-huh.
We didn't talk about this on the last episode. Now, it's been a few weeks since we've done an episode because we took the holiday break.
Correct.
But it was the story of the real story of the lady who spilled coffee on her lap from McDonald's. And
that lawsuit. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And how many things that they didn't talk about in the real case during the time period because the media took it and ran with it and made it look like this. By the end of that video, I still thought that she went out of her way to just screw McDonald's over on some BS. Okay, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the truth. I'm not knocking this lady. The one thing that did blow my mind was how bad the burn pictures were. Like, the burns, I'm talking like third-degree burns. Black and blue spots throughout her entire thighs and all that.
Right, but you're an idiot if you don't understand.
Coffee.
You ordered hot coffee.
Yeah, they didn't have iced coffee at this time.
Now,
so
mind you, mind you, in the video it says that McDonald's was serving their coffee almost 15 to 20 degrees hotter than the recommended average across the board. But they had done research and a survey within the last year before this happened where the people said, well, we wished the coffee was hotter. So here they do the research. The people say that, and they go, well, let's just turn it up a little bit. Okay, either way, hot's hot.
Right.
Like, whether it's super hot, Andy's a firefighter, you know? Yep. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It doesn't matter whether he walks into a room and it's cool to the touch on the door. Backdraft will happen. That's super hot. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
So, like, it doesn't matter. Hot's hot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with Andy Eckel, as well as myself and producer Bobby.
Yep.
We'll be back here on 1280 AM KYRO and 1420 WINI.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, joined today by Andy Eckel, as well as producer Bobby. Got the fresh Prince of Bel-Air rocking in the background. And there's a special reason that we brought us back to that. We found out this past week that James Avery from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fame was found dead at the age of 65. According to a report from TMZ, James Avery, the man who played adored father, uncle, and Judge Philip Banks on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, died in his Los Angeles hospital this past week. Avery had recently undergone open-heart surgery and died from complications from the procedure. Fresh Prince co-star Alfonso Ribeiro confirmed the death on Twitter. I am deeply saddened to say that James Avery, a good friend, has passed away. He was a second father to me. I will miss him greatly. And, of course, a picture of him and James together on the set of Fresh Prince.
Now, this is a great way, though, to actually finally have the Fresh Prince reunion. It's a sad way, but you bring him back for Uncle Phil's funeral because Uncle Phil has died from a heart attack or something like that, and then you have the reunion with, you know, Jazzy, and you have Carlton and Will, you know, getting in trouble like they always did. This is it's a sad time, but it's a great time to be able to have the Fresh Prince reunion.
I don't know if mentally the guys, though, would be in the moment
to want to do something like that. It might need to take a little bit of time because it's such a fresh situation. You know, with Paul Walker passing away, they were in the middle of shooting stuff for
Fast 7,
and they actually are now having to go back, even though they kind of wrapped a little bit or got close to wrapping, and they had to rewrite a section into the movie so that they could explain his death.
For the most part, it was almost the movie was pretty much done. They were doing some audio dubbing and a little bit of last minute things in post-production. But, yeah, they're using actually Paul's younger brother, Chris, I think his name is. He's coming in, filming the, like, scenes, you know, widescreen shots, and then they're superimposing, from what I've heard, Paul's face onto his brother's body in the scenes where leading up to him, you know, dying in the movie.
Interesting. So that's going to be a unique thing. I still haven't seen Fast 6, which is the one that
just came out. It was very good.
I just bought it for my wife for Christmas. I'll let you borrow it.
I have not had the chance to check that out. But James Avery passed away, so rest in peace, Mr. Avery.
He was definitely
one of the more influential TV characters of my young growing up. I mean, by the time that show came on the air, I was in eighth grade.
That's kind of also the reason why I don't really think that they would never be able to bring that show back, because the kids nowadays, I mean, the people who would watch it are all 30-something, and you're not going to be able to get, you know,
It was a different type of show for its time, and definitely the stereotype, I guess you could say, is different nowadays. Like, I agree, it would be very difficult to bring it back, but technically, James Avery, the last celebrity to die in 2013, because he died, I think they said it, like 6 p.m., on New Year's Eve.
Wow. Crazy. That's crazy, wow. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, they go in threes, so he would be the beginning of the new three-peat.
No, who's the other one?
No, they said, I think, Paul Walker ended the Paul Walker one.
No, yeah. Paul Walker had three people around him that were huge. Well, we could figure it out. We could just find out famous deaths of 2013 while we were talking about other things.
Yes, true.
So, Andy Eckel is joined us today. Former co-host of mine with Absolute Wrestling Radio on Fox Sports, as well as a few other things. And Andy's got a really unique story, because for the last few months of his life, literally since what month did you leave?
August.
Since August of this past year, yeah. Andy had been gone from the St. Louis area, living in 1976.
Oh, man, it wasn't even 1976. 1976 would have been cool compared to this place.
Yeah, he was living in the past, because where he was stationed was a place called Wake Island,
yep.
Out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You said 2,300 miles away from Hawaii.
West of Hawaii, yeah. Technically, I wasn't living in the past. I was living in the future.
Okay, fair enough. But like 300 miles off the coast of, what's the closest?
It was 300 miles to the northeast of the Kwajalein Atoll, which is more of a, they actually have hospitals and you can take families there and they have schools.
Where is that? Is it Japan? Is it China? Or
no, these are just American territories that are out in the West Pacific. And then it was
similar islands.
Yeah, I think it was about 500 or 600 miles to the northeast of Guam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were out there in the middle of, now did you, during your time period there, did you deal with any storms? Any major storms at all?
Nope.
Was
not at
every
all.
Day just beautiful? You'd wake up, it was gorgeous out?
It rained a lot. I mean, it would rain for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever, probably
daily,
4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
But for the most part, it was 85 to 90 degrees during the day. It was about 75 to 80 degrees during the night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome because, you know,
a lot of beach parties.
Yeah, you'd hop out of the ocean and, it's, you know, sometimes you get out of water and it's at nighttime or whatever. You're kind of chilly and you're shaking or whatever. But here, you get out of the ocean, you just walk to your room and you're still fine. I mean, it feels great, you know.
Now, and then obviously, you got to see a lot of cool moons. Obviously.
Oh yeah,
full moons,
when it
stars.
Was, yeah, when it was nighttime,
I've never seen so many. You probably had a ton of stars.
Oh yeah, ton of stars. And during full moon time,
the most
stars it was awesome because
was it the most stars you've ever seen in your life?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what blew my mind when I went to Arizona for my 21st birthday with my brother. We went out into the middle of the desert up towards Wawi Grand Glaze Canyon, which is by the Utah-Arizona border. Uh-huh. But up there, it is literally small, desolate, really tiny towns. We're talking like, you know, towns of 50 people tops. Wow. So that's the most amount of light pollution at all. And those towns are spread out 30 to 40 miles away from each other. So yeah. There's literally no light pollution. We went out in the middle of the desert. I've never seen so many stars in my entire life. That's all I can tell you.
My wife's grandmother lives down in like the Sullivan.
Cape area. Get down that way.
And we go down there. Well, we haven't been down there since our daughters were born, but we went down there 1 year for camping. And dude, it's so cool when you go out there camping late at night and then you just look up and you can see everything. It's really
everything
cool.
Forever.
Yep.
That's the coolest part, because you can actually see, you know, people don't realize this. You could actually see a portion of the Milky Way galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at...
He probably had a great view of the band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every single night.
Yeah. So why were you... Mark said you were stationed there?
Yeah. I was doing contract firefighting work, and so I basically lived there. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad experience.
How many people lived there with you? Around how many?
When I got to the island, there was about 250 people on the island. When I left the island, there were 75.
75 total people. How many females?
There was one.
Three. One female?
There was one. There was a total of four.
She had to be loving it.
There was a total of four at one point in time. One of them was a lesbian, unfortunately.
Wow.
The other three, I don't know what their deal was. I think one of them was trying to hook up with her for some reason. I don't know. Now, but they weren't very attractive at all.
Is this island indigenous to a specific type of people?
There's no indigenous culture there at all.
Nothing. So it's
everything's flown in. Actually, it's either Americans or Thailand.
How often did you get your mail?
Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks. Yep. So was that a big day for everybody?
For everybody else, yeah, because everybody's ordering stuff off Amazon and everything. I wasn't planning on being there for forever, and I didn't want to spend what little money I was making. So, no, I didn't order anything off Amazon. But, yeah, there's people who pretty much every single week was ordering stuff off Amazon.
A lot of PS3 action? Was there a lot of PS3 action going on?
We did have a couple PS3s there that we hooked up to a local network so we could all get together and, you know, play zombies or whatever. You know, just to pass time, just to kill time. So, it gets to a point where
I know how firefighters are in the United States. Like, right. Unless a fire is going on or there's the save somebody, they're pretty much downtime themselves.
Let me put it this way. I put my bunker gear on one time, the entire time I was there, and that one time was to try it on. Okay.
so there was really nothing to worry about.
No, there wasn't. You know, you basically go by and you do standby for if there's a flight coming in, you have to have fire response available,
of course,
plain and simple. So that's basically what we would do, is if there was flights coming in, we'd go down to the airfield station, we'd either sit there and do nothing or talk or whatever, you know, read books or whatever, or we'd go to what we call base ops, and in base ops they at least had a couple TVs. So once football season started, if we had planes on Monday, or we had, well, if we had planes on Tuesdays or on Fridays there, because again, I was in the future, so those were the times that they were doing Monday night football and Thursday night football. I would actually go to base ops and I'd sit there and watch football.
So you did get to see some games.
Oh yeah, I got to see games every single week. I got to see the Thursday night football game. I got to see the Monday night football game. The bad part was that they only had one channel for the football game. So I'm so used to, you know, and I'm a big fantasy football guy, and I love watching the Red Zone channel. It's amazing. It's probably one of the smartest inventions that they came out with.
He's kind of a scaredy cat when it comes to fantasy football. We have actual audio of me challenging him.
Yeah, but again, look, I can't play you, because if we have the same player on the teams, it's not going to work. If you want me to play, we need to get a league together with at least eight other guys.
Who's the quarterback for Atlanta?
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that was my best player I had.
This year?
On my team, yeah.
This year.
Oh, dude, I ended up at like 10th in my league.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I was horrible.
Yeah, because I ended up first in my league.
Five out of eight.
I ended up first in my league. I had Peyton Manning. I had Matt Forte. I had Eddie Lacy. I had Calvin Johnson. Julius Thomas. Four weeks
where three or more players on my roster were either injured or on a bye week, and I just didn't change anything. I just didn't care. just let it do it. First off, I auto-draft.
Oh yeah, that's not good.
Then second, I just let the team ride. Whoever it was, whatever the best players were that it picked, even if it was a bye week, they just stayed.
Yeah,
I didn't even care. Like, it's because I'm a busy guy. Like, I'm a really busy dude. You know, hosting a syndicated radio show is not a simple thing. It's not a simple task. Plus, I'm a father, you know, and I've got other things that I'm doing in the music entertainment business and stuff.
Yep.
So, like, it's one of those things where you have to have downtime to really focus on those things. When I had downtime, oh my goodness, I was just researching more political stuff and other things for my show. That's literally what my downtime was, if not watching Sons of Anarchy or some other TV show I wanted to see.
Yep. Well, see, that was the good part about being on that island, man. I got caught up on everything. Oh, my God. I watched, let's see, I've seen the entire Game of Thrones up to the end of season three.
And that was
awesome.
Yep.
Amazing. Breaking Bad.
What did you think of the
Breaking Bad was awesome, except for the fact that I had to wait until 2 days before I came home, before I got the last 8 episodes, because I left right when they started airing, and then it took us that long to get those 8 episodes to have somebody download them and get them over there. So I was stuck on Walter's brother-in-law finding out, you know, figuring it out
right
for forever. So
now here's the question. So Game of Thrones, what did you think of the Red Wedding?
Actually, I just saw that the other day. It was pretty awesome. Not gonna lie.
Catches you off guard.
Yeah, it does.
It's an Opie moment.
It's not a season finale.
It's an Opie moment.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's totally
Game of Thrones is on Hulu or Amazon?
HBO Go.
HBO Go.
So it's but not, it's not available on
No. HBO has a proprietary. Yeah, they got a proprietary with all their stuff. They make everybody go to HBO.
I can honestly say I watched one episode of Game of Thrones and I was like, "Whoa, okay, this
I got my wife hooked on Sons of Anarchy. She has not seen any of season 6 at all.
I think I would be able to get hooked on Game of Thrones a little bit easier than Sons of Anarchy.
I don't know. Like, you know,
Sons is very well written.
See, yeah. I've watched like half of the first season cuz Mark told me to watch it. And I liked it, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta watch this.
Well, see, the thing with Sons, and I always say this, is you gotta get through halfway of second season to first off, your first season of that show, you're literally learning the characters, you're learning about motorcycle gang culture, you know, you're learning about a lot of the intricacies so that you understand the way that these players play with each other. You know what I'm saying? Even though the first season has a decent storyline,
right,
it's nowhere near the storylines of season 3, 4, 5. By no means whatsoever. Yeah. Yeah. And that first season literally ends up playing a lot of rehash in like season 4 and 5 and 6. There's a lot of throwback to that first season. So what you come to realize after you've finally seen everything, you go, oh, well, season 1 wasn't necessarily a standalone season for the fact that it was a standalone season. It was literally just all the bits and pieces that they need to throw back to really flush the story out well down the road.
Right.
Right. Speaking of throwback, real quick, we were talking about Paul Walker and the trio. Paul Walker started a new death trio, but it ended with from Scream, Blake Blockula, Scream, Don Mitchell, and then from The Sound of Music, Eleanor Parker.
I'm not talking about any of those people. I don't know who those
people
are.
I don't think I consider those people like the three-peats.
Well, then you could say Joan Fontaine and Ray Price.
Peter O'Toole.
I would say Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole is the second one. And Ray Price.
I don't know. Well,
he's
maybe
a country
the country singer Ray Price. No. See, that's the other thing. I don't consider country, unless it's like a Michael Jackson level individual or a Mariah Carey or a Whitney Houston. I don't consider, and I'm not saying Ray Price is not someone important. I'm just saying I don't consider, like, if Garth Brooks had died, then that would have been in that, like Lou Reed. Probably.
Okay.
Lou
what
Reed.
About what about Marcia Wallace? Marcia Wallace. I'm sorry. She's the voice of from The Simpsons. She's the voice of
Miss Crabtree or whatever, Crabberry or whatever her name is.
Who?
The teacher.
She was the teacher.
Crabapple?
Crabapple.
Yeah.
Really?
That's her.
And she was 70?
Yeah.
Wow. Never would have guessed that one.
So anyway, quick question for you, going back to the Wake Island stuff we were just talking about.
Yep. We get sidetracked a lot on
this
show.
Is there anything you are going to miss? What's the one thing you will miss from your time period there? If anything at all.
And the
weather.
It's the weather.
The weather.
What's the one thing you wish you could have done?
Not seeing the stars on a beautiful night on the beach type thing. Like, there was no one thing.
Well, here's the problem. Okay, the beaches were all coral beaches. There's very, very little sand. All the coral beaches, so there's no, you know, walking in barefoot in the sand and everything like that.
All that cute movie stuff.
Yeah, there's none of that good stuff. The moon and the stars and everything like that, yeah, every once in a while it was good to get out and, you know, have a couple beers and, you know, sit there with your feet in the water and just kind of remember
one guy
and think about
that
it.
Hung out with and you're like, I'm gonna miss that dude, like, I never.
Nope.
Well, is this a volcanic built island?
No, I don't know where it came from. It was just there. I don't think it was volcanic because there's no volcanoes there. There's nothing there.
There's
the elevation. It's literally, I think the highest point of the island is probably maybe 25 feet higher than the sea level.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. So, yeah, it's not a very high island at all, but that is one of the key islands that for World War II.
All right, I want to go through this short list that I got here. 2014 is going to be dubbed the Year of Retail Contradictions.
Sweet.
That's right. Damon Worldwide, Stanford, Connecticut released its 8 global retail trend predictions for 2014 and beyond to help retailers successfully address the contradictory, challenging realities facing the industry in 2014. The company forecast 2014 to be the Year of Retail Contradictions. So let's take a look at some of these. Number one, big versus small, the redefinition of the hyper/supercenter. There will be a shift from large supercenter culture to a retail landscape where smaller formats prevail. The shift is driven by increasing urbanization, a rise in smaller households, and the consumer-changing notion of convenience. These smaller formats will become category killers, stealing from supercenters and mass merchandisers. Number two, a sharing retail economy. Consumers are more interested in sharing, renting, and reusing options rather than bulky, rarely used items. Number three, the muddled middle. The middle class in the United States is shrinking, creating a bigger gap between the rich and the poor. Retailers with low price positioning, such as discounters, Aldi's, or dollar stores, will grow as premium retailers and specialty stores, such as Whole Foods, and as well as specialty stores such as Whole Foods. Retailers without a clear position are at risk of becoming less relevant and losing traction. The war on obesity will escalate. Companies and governments will begin to take even more aggressive steps to promote healthful diets, leading to the rise of high-quality cook-and-assemble meals and stricter guidelines such as no GMOs becoming the entry into retail.
Interesting.
Number five, the kitchen has left the house. Grocery trips are mission-based and no longer about stocking up. Grocery stores will become the kitchen. With the rise of snacking and component cooking such as heat and eat, retailers will need to cultivate and even closer relationships with their customers, kind of like what Quick Trip did. Number six, the local becomes personal. The idea of locally sourced products will change from foods and products sourced in immediate area to each market offering available throughout the broader community, city, state, and country. It will be more about personal interaction, authentic experiences, and interest versus geography. Number seven, the retailers amplify branded experience. Brick and mortar stores need to provide shoppers with even more unique experiences and not just flagship locations. For grocery, food theaters such as cooking demonstrations and sampling must become a greater part of the shopping experience, like a Sam's Club.
Can you explain brick and mortar? A lot of people have asked what brick and mortar is.
Brick and mortar is just a hardline store. Like a spot where you go to, as opposed,
because that whole Target situation.
Well, Schwann's is not a brick and mortar company. They do retail food grocery items, you know, where you can order them off the truck. But they're not a brick and mortar. The brick and mortar would be your Schnucks, your Deerbergs, a place where you physically go.
Just when that whole Target situation happened, I saw a lot of people posting on Facebook, what exactly is brick and mortar?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know, with Target.com, Amazon.com, a lot of these different .com places where you can order your stuff and have it shipped to you in a day. You know, if you're willing to just wait that extra day, your prices can be 20, 30 cents, 40 cents, 50 cents cheaper. Right. Across the board. And that does add up over a year. You know, when you do this 300 times at, you know, 50 cents a pop, before you know it, that's $150 that you actually ended up using to buy Game of Thrones DVD or something like that.
Right.
Number eight, a new way to service the aging population. With a growing age population, retailers will need to reach out to these consumers with products, services, and in-store services that cater to their lifestyles. Here is the 19 other year ofs to watch out for. I'm not going to go into the details on these, but this is going to be the year of the new hire. People are going to be hiring new people more
Absolutely.
Often. This is going to be the year of the employee. You're going to have to take care of your employees at Radio Shack a little bit better, Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be the year of the super employee, the Bobbies, the people that go out of their way to be just amazing employees. The year of jobs, the year of offshore investing, the year of vertical downspacing, the year of grand aligned convergences, the year of economic populism, the year of small business, the year of the entrepreneur, the year of the social entrepreneur. That would be where I kind of fall with the radio show. The year of living socially. Yeah, that makes sense. Living socially. The year of e-engagements and the year of the horse. Hold on, I got more here. The year of the swan. Weird. The year of the salamander. The year of the modest sheath dress. Really interesting. The year of no excuses. You cannot make excuses this year. There's no more excuses that are going to be made. This is the year of contradictions, and this is definitely going to be the beginning of the year of the baby boomer. Because most baby boomers are now hitting in their mid-60s, and they are now becoming the aged population.
They forgot the biggest thing of what this year is going to be.
Not the year of the Packers.
The year.
Whoa.
The year of cannabis.
You know what? We're going to talk about that here.
Absolutely.
This might become the year where they finally break the... You know, this is going to be a huge year, ladies and gentlemen. I talked about Obamacare. We're going to talk about that at the beginning of the next section here at the top of the hour, because we're getting close to the top of the hour for Fox and CBS News here on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WYNI. But this is going to be a year where it's put up or shut up. Like, all the complaining, all the crying, all the... all about the reasons why against something or for something are going to go by the wayside. This is the year it will be implemented.
Well,
this is the year you will see.
Let's just put it this way. Colorado and Washington State both last year implemented to have recreational marijuana legalized.
Yes.
Okay. So I just read the article just a little bit ago. It was just written on what exactly happened in Denver, just in Denver. Okay, so there's over 30 stores, and of those 30 stores, I think 18 of them are in Denver, Colorado.
Retail cannabis shops.
Retail cannabis shops. Less than an hour after they opened, they had to start limiting the amount of marijuana that people could buy.
Yeah.
Okay, you can buy up to an ounce.
Right.
Legally, in Colorado, you can buy up to an ounce.
And you don't have to have
no medical prescription, no nothing. You can buy an ounce of marijuana in Colorado legally, as long as your state... as long as you live in Colorado. If you're from out of state, you can only buy a quarter ounce. But anyway, so if you buy an ounce, all right, that's fine and dandy. Less than an hour after they opened, they had to start limiting them to an eighth of an ounce because of how many people. And they were open till 7. They were saying most of them were sold out before 4 p.m.
Fair enough.
After limiting them how much they could do. So you're not going
to
tell me.
Hold up. I want you to keep that thought right there. It's time for us to take a break here on the show. Make sure you guys check out theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, as well as all the good stuff on our show. Andy is pictured on our website under the About section because he is one of our featured guests, one of our premier guests that we like to bring on every once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here this hour on The Q. We will be back right after this.
Right into this worm.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by producer Bobby and Andy Eckel, making his long-awaited return to the show. It's been a while since we've had Andy on. We were talking about where he was at in Wake Island, out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It was a nice little time you spent there.
Yeah,
wasn't bad. You know, wasn't horrible or anything like that, but I guarantee it was nothing like Colorado is. And we were talking about this before we hit the top of the hour at the end of the last section on the show. Colorado has officially, as of midnight last night or the night before or whatever, a few nights ago on New Year's Day, gone into full cannabis retail. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to the state of Colorado right now, and you can go to any one of the retail cannabis shops. You don't have to have a medical card by any means whatsoever or even a prescription for it. You can go buy up to 1 ounce of cannabis.
No. If you're a visitor to that state, you can only buy a quarter pound.
Oh, you can only buy
a quarter ounce.
A quarter pound? Wow, quarter ounce. All right.
Yeah, a quarter pound. Yeah,
Colorado.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, no, that would make sense. They'd be like, listen, these people are coming from far distances, and they're not going to get back here anytime soon, so we'll just sell them quarter pound.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. And we're talking a lot bigger than the quarter pounder at McDonald's.
Yeah, so quarter ounce. So
quarter ounce is what you can buy from out of state. Yeah.
Here's the exact law if people don't know what it is. The state of Colorado back in December of 2002 did pass Amendment number 64, which made it legal for anyone over the age of 21 to use or possess up to an ounce for any purpose. But on January 1st, marijuana can now be sold in specifically licensed stores to anyone.
That's right.
Over the age of 21. A Colorado resident can buy up to an ounce, and like you said, non-Colorado residents. But it is illegal to take it across the state border.
Colorado, yes, along with Washington State, voted to legalize and use the possession of cannabis for people over the age of 21 in November of 2012. Washington is not expected to allow the sale of it until later in 2014. Colorado and Washington are among 20 states to have approved marijuana use for medical purposes. The drug is still illegal under federal law. And that's where the problem kind of begins.
Well, that, and it's still illegal to display it or smoke it in public areas. It has to be done on private property with that person's permission.
Well,
so I don't think it's going to be long before they start having like the marijuana dens like they have.
Well, there was a really well-known story from last year that happened in the state of California, and the fact that they've had medical marijuana sales for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
Right.
And
2008, I think.
The problem is that there was a small town up in Northern California that was like the hotbed for a lot of growing. like not illegal growing, but there was a lot of illegal growing around that area. But it was also a hotbed for these retail locations to buy from major suppliers that were growing it legally under California state law. Well, the problem was is that one of these individuals tended to strive off into some nefarious activities with his sales, and that attracted federal law. And he literally had his land taken away from him. His argument and his lawyer's argument, as well as the town that was making money off the taxing of this, because they had come up with some type of rudimentary tax system to like help the town out with these companies.
Right,
you
know, right.
You pay us a tax and we'll make sure we keep the heat off your back. Well, the problem was is that all these people were going to defend this guy, basically saying under California state law, he has the right to, like, you can't take his land and his stuff away from him. He has the right to sell it and make it.
Correct.
But
under state law.
Right. What was happened was the feds Federal came law. In. The feds came in, and that's where the real fight started, because
there is
he's arguing on behalf of the state.
Correct.
The feds are arguing on behalf of the nation. And where do you stand on this? I live in the state of California. I grow in the state of California. By state law, it's legal to do this in the state of California, but because you decided that you wanted to go all the way from Washington, D.C. and come here to my house, you know, in California.
Correct.
Now you're going to try to apply national law to me.
But what was he doing that drew the attention of the feds?
I'm not sure.
That's the question.
All that matters
because that's what he did. He drew the feds' attention.
Correct. But it also shut down all the other ones around him. But because once they got there, they were like, oh, well, if one bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so they went around the board, and there were people that were not doing any of that stuff, and they ended up losing their land and their stuff.
And right, so the and problem that's the is, problem with the federal government.
No, I don't think that's the problem with the federal government. I just don't think everybody's on the same page. And it's not that hard to make a phone call and try to get on the same page. It really isn't.
No, just it isn't, but that's the thing. The federal government likes to sit there and swing and show how big it is.
But the problem is that you're trying to argue that the federal government, like, it wasn't like there was no law on the books, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the state of California just goes, you know what? We've been a state for like 100 plus years, and we think maybe all of a sudden in 2012, we're going to just, or 2011, I think was the year it started. But they were like, oh, I think this is the year we're just going to focus on marijuana and try to start selling it, and we're going to make up some state laws. And then all of a sudden, the federal government came around and was like, wow, what's California doing? Oh, that's really weird. We should create laws specifically designed to be the opposite of what California's doing. No, the United States government had their laws put in place by liberals and conservatives back in the 40s, the 30s, the
20s. I understand. I'm not arguing that with you. What I'm arguing is that they came in. It would be no different than a drug dealer living two houses down from me, and then they seize his house, they seize the house next to him, and then the house next to them, which happens to be my house, because of what? Because this person down here is doing something illegal, and then we're doing the same thing, but we're following all the rules and guidelines that were set to us by the state. But then you're going to take my property because of this guy down here?
But see, here's the thing. Exactly what the law states is that federal law trumps and preempts all state laws.
Right, if they just
want to understand
that. And in this case, it's just the situation based off what I told you. This is just a case of we want to be...
We want to show how big it is.
We want to be DBs about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to be DBs about it.
I want to show you how big it is. That's all it was.
And that's fine. Like, because that's the whole point of that law. I'm not knocking that. I just think that it was kind of stupid to go the DB route in that case.
The biggest thing that the United States needs to
do. But that's not the federal government being, like, on purpose to be the federal government. And it's obvious that there's an example, a glaring example of why they should be torn down and trash.
No, I'm not saying the federal government needs to be torn down and trash, but they need to just back off a little bit and just look. You can run your own state now. If you have issues with it, we'll come in and help you out.
The guy was doing things illegal even to the state law, so that's why the feds came in and took it over.
I understand.
But the biggest thing is the U.S. needs to smarten up with the whole cannabis situation. There are I just heard the number the other day. A couple million people that are sitting in our judicial system right now due to the fact that we have imprisoned these people for small, minute amounts of drugs, cannabis, and we're paying the tax dollars for all these people. If those people were out, are now our money going towards the justice system, that's being put to the correct use, as well as you can tax, you know, they're always trying to figure out new ways to tax things. You can tax this so much and bring back all of that, what is it, $162 trillion that we're in debt right now? Do you realize so much of the taxation of cannabis can help offset some of that debt that we're in? It's a win-win situation for everybody.
I do understand, and I do agree, and I do think there needs to be decriminalization of marijuana across the board. I do not believe that it's a drug that... Now, I don't think that they should change the laws in regards to driving under the influence. I would say that, yeah, you maintain your driving under the influence laws.
But you're not going to ever be able to prove it.
You can prove it.
How can you prove it? How can you prove that you've recently used THC and how much THC is in your system?
There's tests.
And at what point is that... at what point does what... How much THC is illegal?
Well, that's where they need to do the testing, but there are tests.
Let me put it this way.
I love how people say, you know what, first off, I love the buzz driving thing. Buzz driving, like, we don't talk about it here in this state, but in other states, they have billboards that say buzz driving is drunk driving. I love the fact that when people say, I got a buzz, I'm not drunk, I just got a buzz on. And then they're like, I'll be fine to drive home because I'm just buzzing. No, you're drunk. The whole point of alcohol is to alter your state. The whole point of THC is to alter your state.
You know what? I am yet to meet one stoned driver, one driver who's under the influence of THC that is speeding and wrecking and killing people. Every single time.
You ever tried to drive home stoned off your butt?
Yes, I have.
And I've done
it multiple times.
Yeah, you're going 45 miles an hour in a 60. That's fine. But you're also swerving because your eyes are closing 99%.
But also, Andy, it's not you. It's that one person that does have the problem that causes the problem. That's the reason that they have to regulate it. And there are tests. There is testing because I have a friend that works for the rehab center.
We get it, Andy. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. We understand.
I'm not saying that, but I want to know. I want to know how that is. Right. I want to know how that testing would be done.
Does it matter if a person's okay, Andy? Andy, let's be honest. If a person's in the wrong and they're in the bad, right? And we can prove that they're in the wrong and they're in the bad. And there's obviously a glaring enough reason for us to question why this testing needs to happen. Then obviously the testing should be authorized.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that does need to get worked out. I agree.
I mean, because nobody's just walking up to people randomly on the street going, God, you were walking out of Saks Fifth Avenue with a little bit of a wobble there. Looks like you got some THC in your system. Take this test right now. Like, that's not how it works. What happens is somebody does something reckless in a fashion that multiple people notice in most cases. Then they get a cop call on them, or they go through a sobriety checkpoint, and those guys ain't just sitting there going, God, I'm just looking to screw this guy over today. No. Those guys literally wait until they see a situation that just is obviously egregious.
Now, I just Googled, how do you test THC in the human body? This comes from the state of California. And it states that within 1 to 7 days of use, THC can be tested in the body through urine. 12 to 24 hours, it can be tested through your blood. That's a single use. Regular use, it can be tested in your urine for from 7 to 100 days. So you can test
the level. But I think Andy is talking more about the moment of. Like, they get pulled over on the spot. How do you test? There's no sobriety checkpoint type.
There's no way to...
That's what I'm saying. So there's no way to test that. So you can't.
Sir, you're going to need to whip your Johnson out. I'm going to need to see that thing.
I'm going to need you to pee in this cup.
You're going to have to pee in this cup while sitting in your car.
Okay, because that's awesome, because I just smoke marijuana. I smoke marijuana all the time, but I haven't smoked marijuana in the past hour. And I'm driving. But it still shows up in my urine.
Well, yeah,
so guess
you don't
what?
Have to drink
now
it.
I'm going to have to go and fight this expensive court battle for DUI.
You're trying to play the game of, you smoke the marijuana, it goes into your system, it only sits there for 5 minutes. That's the amount of time you're high, and then you walk away.
No, absolutely
that's not how
not.
It works.
I know it's not how it works.
So if you smoked it within the last hour and got in your car and drove, it's in your system, it's fresh, just like a beer, and therefore you're driving under the influence.
No, because one beer is out of your system in an hour. So how long does it take for one joint? How long does it take for one blunt?
Hours.
How long does it take for one bowl?
Hours, because it gets into the bloodstream directly. It's not just the diuretics of it.
But see, here's how you could
test. There's no diuretics.
There's one way you could test it, because based upon this, it says via blood, it can be tested for 12 to 24 hours. So just like a diabetic has to do a finger prick, you could do a finger prick.
So now Andy is going to say, no, you can't prick my finger.
No, absolutely not. I have no problem with that if it were to show that, okay, yeah, you used it. But then what's the time limit that you're putting on this? Are you going to sit there and tell me that I can't smoke a joint in my house at 7 o'clock in the morning and then go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and be fine?
But I think there's
I know guys that smoke weed throughout the day, and you will never be able to tell when he gets done smoking
weed. But if you decriminalized it, you won't even have to smoke it at 7 in your house. You could just get in your car, go to work, and smoke it on your way walking into work.
He's sitting there saying that it would be illegal to drive under the influence of marijuana.
Yeah.
But there has to be
How do you test, and when does that level become criminalized? That's what I'm saying.
And
there is no way to test how soon and how much is in your system at what point in time, because it doesn't sit there and say that there's 80 nanograms per deciliter of marijuana.
Smoking weed is no different than smoking cigarettes. The amount of time it takes the nicotine to affect the system and get into it is probably the same amount of time it takes THC to affect the system and get into it.
Possibly.
I would assume.
Okay, but how long does it take to get out of your system
so
that you're not driving marijuana?
We're not all idiots. It takes hours. Hours.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. If you smoke a marijuana joint, you smoke a joint at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then I get in my car at 9 o'clock in the morning to go to work because I have to be at work at 10.
9 o'clock, it's still in your system. I would assume.
I understand that. So if I get pulled over, I'm getting a DUI?
Yeah.
Because I did something that's legal 2.5 hours ago? I don't think so.
There's levels,
but
though.
It's
just
the
like
driving
with
aspect. It's not that you smoked the weed. It's that you drove. If you just didn't drive, you'd be fine. Just don't drive.
Okay, so basically,
or don't
so
smoke
basically
it
what
before
saying,
you go to work. So why would your employer want you to come into work high anyway? Like, who's that guy?
I know lots of kinds of places that people go in high all the time, and they have no idea. So basically what you're saying is if you smoke marijuana, get rid of your driver's license. Fair enough. That's your point on it.
I don't.
My point is that unless they come up with a way,
I think
to
that
say,
you're a smarter,
you're smoking marijuana right
Andy,
now.
Andy, how old are you now?
It's retarded.
How old are you now?
32.
You're 32 years old. Like, yeah. I'm 37, getting ready to turn 38. We're not that far off in age, okay?
No.
You're a smart dude. You and me understand common sense. We're smart people. Just don't smoke before you go to work because your employer doesn't want you high. You don't need to be driving your car high. If you're going to go to a party, wait till you get the party and smoke at the party. You see what I'm saying?
But there's got to be a level, though.
In your urine the next day. So I go smoke at 7 o'clock p.m. I'm off duty. Don't have to do nothing.
I would assume
I'm off
that there's,
work,
a diminished, there's a diminished.
Yeah,
like,
it's
like,
a,
you
it's
know,
a lesser
like,
amount.
They're I understand gonna, what you're saying is the whole blood alcohol content aspect of something. Where
exactly
it goes from here
my
down.
Point.
I understand that.
Because if I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and drink a beer, if I leave at 9 o'clock, guess what? I'm not going to be drunk. I'm not even going to be close to the point of having any kind of alcohol.
Can you just imagine Andy's in Andy's mind, what his like is running through it right now? He's just like sitting there, like the cop pulls him over, sees like a quarter bag, but it's got like only like 20% left in the quarter bag. You know, sitting on his driver's like, hey, oh, you've only done looks like about an eighth and a half. You're good to go. No big deal. You just get on out of here, okay? Till you finish off that quarter bag, you'll be okay. Just got
to
finish that quarter bag off.
Yeah, and who's to say that I didn't just, grab that quarter bag from, a week ago, and I'm going over to my buddy's house so we can line up because we're both
out of
the day.
Well, that's why we test you. Then you wouldn't show anything. So, yeah.
No, but that's the problem. You test my urine, guess what?
Well,
it's still in my urine.
Either
you test my blood, it's still in my blood.
But either you're an honest person or you're not. That's the way the world works. Either you're an honest person or you're not. Are you drunk, sir? Nope, I'm not drunk. Will you submit to this blood alcohol test? Nope, I'm not blowing. Okay, well, that means you immediately admit guilt. Why wouldn't you blow if you are honestly not drunk?
Well, in the city of Illinois,
my lawyer tells me not to do it. No. Either you're an honest person or you're not. You just tried to get away with being not honest.
The city of St. Louis, they've passed a law that it is a no refusal zone. So if you are in the city of St. Louis and you're asked to take a breathalyzer test or a sobriety check or a sobriety test and you refuse, you are instantly given a DUI. And you will be taken in, and they will at that point do a blood
test. I have some inside information on something that's probably going to make both of you guys very unhappy as soon as I say this. And this is for all of you out there. The inside information I'm getting is that there are certain municipalities, because of these red light ticket camera situations that have been going on lately,
uh-huh.
evidently they're ramping up because some of these municipalities are like, okay, you want to play that game? Well, we're going to make red light camera tickets $400 or $500. Instead of $100, they're going to be $400 or $500. And so there you go. Like,
do you know that at the bottom of those,
they keep pushing that game, and eventually they're just going to come back and go, well, if you ran a red light, we have proof. You made us jump through a bunch of hoops to make sure that that proof is legitimate proof, and now we have it. And now, instead of it costing the $100 it used to be if you just didn't rattle the bird cage, now it's going to cost you $500 because you decided to play the Tea Party, Freedom, Patriot, Eagles, Soldiers,
at the
Patriot,
very, at
Patriot.
At the very bottom of that,
Eagles.
It also states that Soldiers. No points will be assessed, no warrants will be issued.
Eagles.
Just so you know, I've gotten four of those.
America.
Have Patriots. You paid them?
No. Never paid one. So I don't have a warrant for my arrest.
Now, USO. I have had warrants put out for
tribute
my arrest
to the troops.
Because I haven't played.
Really?
Eagles. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, now, it was a whole other situation, but a law enforcement agency.
America.
I will not say which one it was, but a Soldiers. Law enforcement agency came to my house.
Duck Dynasty, Phil Robbins. I stand with Phil.
And they said, hey, just an FYI, we're not going to take you
patriotism.
For it, but you do have a warrant out for your arrest.
Patriotism.
Never paid them. I just got pulled over 2 days ago. Nothing there.
Well, good. Good for you.
Guess I just got lucky. But back to the whole THC thing. There should be a level that would be tested after a certain period of time. This level is acceptable. This level is acceptable. This level is acceptable.
As long as they can do that on the side of the road.
Absolutely.
And it actually be
accurate
an accurate test, and then I would have no problem with that.
Correct.
But on the flip side of it, until that happens, I have a major problem with it.
Speaking of laws, I don't know how much time we have left, but speaking of laws, they're saying that within the year 2014, there will be 40,000 new laws passed in legislature. These are just some of them. In the state of Illinois...
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't notice, 2014's an election year. Oh, the Q took an entire year off from the 2012 election because, of course, that one beat me down because it was a presidential election.
Right.
2014 is an election year for congressmen and senators, and you guys made a bunch of bad decisions in 2010 and put a bunch of Patriot, America, Tea Party people in there who were just going to try to repeal Obamacare 900 times and pass zero everything else. Literally. So how about you guys do a good here, listen, before you're not even gonna listen, this is the cue.
Yeah.
Hosted by Mark Blaine. Sit down, producer Bob. Okay? Just chill for a second, okay? Here's the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2014, I need you to make good decisions for once in your life. That's what I need you to do. For once in your darn lives.
Vote all liberals.
I need you
vote all Democrats
to make better decisions. When they get to Capitol Hill, there's only two votes. Yes or no. There's no independent third vote that you think is going to happen where they go, yes, no, and then, hey, Tea Party person, where's your third vote? Because you're not conservative. Remember, you hate the Republicans. That's why you're Tea Party. But you're definitely not a liberal because you hate those guys. So where's your third vote? And then that's not how it works. There's just yes and no. So either they have to saddle up to the guy that said the thing closest to what they wanted, or they just have to no vote or abstain completely. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, instead of voting for moronic Tea Party conservative or conservatives in general.
Yep, no conservatives.
I didn't say no conservatives.
No Republicans. Yes, you just said
I did
it.
Not
conservatives
say
in general.
No conservatives.
You just said conservatives in general.
I would say find people that are genuinely interested in running your country properly. If they are conservative and they say the word Patriot, Tea Party, America,
Eagle,
Duck Dynasty,
America.
Eagles,
Soldiers,
Army, Navy, Military,
Patriot.
Any of those words,
Constitution,
more than four times in a half an hour speech, literally, just don't even vote for them. Because we all live in the same country. Andy was he's a veteran, right?
Yes, I am.
Andy served our country. I'm proud of him. I know that he served our country and I'm proud of him. He's still a great American.
America.
None of these things changed at all because you said it 45 times in a half an hour speech. I still will fight for my country. If Red Dawn happens tomorrow and they start falling from the sky, I'll pick up a gun, because guess what? Us liberals over here, we know how to load the guns and shoot the targets too. Duh. Yeah, guys, that's right. Just because you wore some army camo one time and you know how to load an AK-47 or an M16 or whatever, that doesn't mean that me and moderates and liberals don't know how to load guns too and shoot them at people. It's pretty simple. It really is. So that's kind of where I stand with that whole situation, because you guys got this thought process that, hey, it's obvious they vote for Obama, Obama's piece of crap, and they're therefore, they don't know how, that's why they're not pro-gun. They don't know how to shoot the guns. Yeah, we know how to shoot the guns. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, a little game on, game off.
Yeah!
It's going to be time for us to do game on, game off. We got Andy Eckel here. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by Andy Eckel, as well as producer Bobby.
Yeah.
Bringing us back in with a little, what is that there?
This is from the theme from season 9 of Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Yes.
Where's my...
I think that's a different season.
It's possibly. This is probably just a long intro to the song. Anyway... Doctor Who theme song right there for you guys. Bring you back on the queue. Check out thequeuenow.com. Always great stuff at the Breaking Point blog, as well as the video for my roller skate race against Mike Barcells, the
that
general manager.
That we won.
And they kept
Mark won. I didn't do anything. They kept the cup.
Mm. I'm still unhappy about that. But 2014 is a new year, and ladies and gentlemen, we will be doing other great things. This might be my ping pong challenge year again. I might try to do the ping pong challenge again.
Sweet.
I've got an individual named Scott who wants to play me in ping pong. We might want to videotape that for the YouTube.
Do you have a ping pong table?
I do have a ping pong table. I don't have it set up, but I do have one.
Okay, so where would you do this ping pong challenge at?
Well, we could do it at, there's a couple of bars in the St. Louis area where you can play. He happens to go to SIUE. So they have a common area where they got a ping pong table there. We could probably shoot it there. Well, there's options.
You know, speaking of SIUE, so here's the deal right now with me. I'm going to be starting college pretty soon.
What?
Yeah, I'm going back to school for a little bit just because it's a little difficult to find anything as far as paramedic firefighting goes right now, and I need income. And the post 9/11 GI Bill will actually provide me money.
To go
to school.
My best friend basically gets paid $2,000 a month.
Which, by the way,
that's a friend of ours,
Dan Walsh, professional wrestler.
He's
a veteran himself, and one of the things that he pontificates to all of the different returning soldiers and people like that who've been in the military, who once they get out or once they're back in the States or whatever.
Yep.
Really, he suggests, and I think this is a really good idea, the military has opportunities available that you need to look into, and you need to try to take advantage of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You really should. I'd agree. You've put the time and effort in. You might as well get the bonuses out.
Actually, I've heard from the GI Bill, you can actually use that, like if you had an idea for a business, you can use that full GI Bill as a small business loan.
I don't know. I can look into that as well. Anyway, back to the ping pong challenge and where this came from is I'm actually kind of scared to go to school.
Why is that?
Because I'm 32 years old. Most of the people in the classes that I'm going to be taking are going to be 18 or 19 years old.
Right.
And it's not that I'm scared.
My mom was.
But I can tell you right now that if they start opening their mouth and running their mouth about some of these silly things that teenagers do now, because these kids were all born in like 1998.
Eight?
Right.
I'm going to just lose my stuff. I'm going to lose it.
My mom was 42 when she went back to school.
Because I'm old enough.
Because you're old enough to know better. You know better, and you're going to keep your mouth shut because you're going to have been around the block enough times to look at these young guys and go, I used to be just like you. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly how life's going to throw you a couple of bananas as well as some lemons. It's a Mario Kart match. You're going to get a couple turtle shells thrown at you that you're not going to see coming. And guess what? Someday you're going to be sitting in my position saying the exact same things in your head that I am.
Yeah, yep, it'll be interesting.
42 years of age, my mom went back to school and got her bachelor's degree.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to do Game On, Game Off. We love Game On, Game Off. This is where we kind of try to hip you guys to new things that you need to know about that you might not either have caught on the first time around, or they're just on the cutting edge of getting ready to become huge things that we think that you need to know about, as well as Game Off, which is basically something that's been going on in our society for a little while. It's potentially it's a popularity it could be popularity.
Correct.
It could be something based off of a trend, a TV show, something that everybody's into, and we will tell you why you shouldn't like that, why you should get away from that.
Right.
What is the purpose of doing that? And we do it. It's a small little section. We give all the credit to Jensen Karp and the guys over at Get Up On This, because it's a great show that they do, and we just really like the idea. So we kind of utilize the idea to our advantage a little bit, but at the same point, our show is completely different than that, and what we do is a little different than what they do. So this week, we're going to start off with Bobby.
Yep.
Bobby, what is your game on?
All right, my game on is actually kind of related to the things that you said people need to watch out to in the year 2014.
Okay.
And that is to game on being an entrepreneur. Because of the fact there's a place here in St. Louis who is kind of sticking it to the man. There's a brewery here in Cottleville.
Okay.
That actually takes the Starbucks coffee blend,
okay,
and makes their own beer.
Yeah, I heard about this. He wrote a letter that was really interesting.
And Starbucks actually sent a cease and desist letter to this company and told them, stop using our coffee to be able to make this beer. Well, the guy said, you know what? I'm exercising my right as an entrepreneur.
Well, no. Not using their coffee.
Using the name.
It's flavor.
He uses the name, but he also, apparently, from what I've read, uses some of their coffee. And he said, I'm exercising my right as an entrepreneur to be able to explore new options with my products, and this just happens to be the option that I'm exploring. Mm. And so I just think it's really cool, and I eventually would like to be an entrepreneur and own a restaurant. I've had a lot of great ideas, and I have some things, but I need some help with the investing side.
Right. Fair enough. So, okay, so game on entrepreneurship,
and game off ice.
Ice.
I am sick and tired.
You're sick of the Blues. I'm sick of the Blues, too. Yes, no. I get it. The St. Louis Blues. I get it. Alexander Steen and all those guys. Get off the ice. No. Stop playing it. You're not the Philadelphia Flyers. You're nowhere near in the same league.
Ice, baby?
No, I am sick and tired.
You don't like vanilla?
You don't like vanilla ice?
Oh, my God. I love
ice.
Vanilla ice.
All right.
I am sick and tired of going to a restaurant, ordering a drink, and getting ice with a splash of soda.
Well, that is completely the opposite of Europe, because in Europe, and Andy knows from living in Europe, they don't put ice in anything. Actually, have to physically go out of your way to ask for it, and they only give you a certain amount in your drinks.
I would be ecstatic to live in Europe then. I am. Mark knows this because Mark has been to my place.
Well, their argument
and he's
in Europe
for a drink.
Their argument in Europe is that it already comes out cold, but they like to sell. They like to serve a lot of their different drinks over their room temperature. Yes, that's their thing. And they say that it already comes out because of the carbonation process in most cases cold.
Right.
And they don't want the ice to water down the flavor. So that's why they don't technically.
Okay.
Do that.
On the way here, I got a soda from a restaurant. I asked for a large.
Whatever.
I got two sips out of it before it was empty. Because there was so much ice.
How big a sip are you taking? My God, man. No.
There was so much ice in the cup that it took me
even
two sips.
Even on a 32-ounce soda,
yep,
a full cup of ice only drops it to 20 ounces. If you're taking 10-ounce sips, think
There's
about
no
that.
Way
that is literally the sip is almost a full can of soda that you're drinking. And then you take another sips that's almost another full can of soda. That's a huge sip, man.
That's true, because I can take a
32-ounce
soda.
Shotgun a soda in front of me right now, dude.
I can take a 32-ounce soda and fill it up with ice, and I can drink on that for quite some time.
Look, dude, I'm still nursing mine, and it had ice in it only halfway, but still.
No.
Wow.
I went through this in two, maybe three sips.
So, your game off,
ice.
St. Louis Blues ice hockey. Fair enough.
Ice, baby. Ice, baby.
Vanilla ice.
Crystal meth. You know, whatever. However, whichever kind of ice you prefer.
All right. What about you, Andy?
What's your game on? Say, game on AT&T U-verse Jukebox app.
Hold on. I do have AT&T U-verse. Do you have U-verse now?
I do not, because they have a no-compete clause with Pac Bell or Southwest. I don't know. Some silly such CenturyTel or something.
CenturyLink.
CenturyLink. I don't know. They have a no-compete clause with them, and they're in my neighborhood, so I can't get them. But it is awesome. I went to – it was at my buddy's house last night. He was telling me about it. Actually, one of his neighbors worked on the development of this app, so I actually got to critique it with him and tell him what I thought of it as a person who is – entrenched in music, to say the least. I love music. Now, absolutely love music.
So this is a part of the UVerse system.
Yes, I think it's channel 9301.
Okay.
And what you do is you basically have to be hooked up to your Wi-Fi.
Right. I got it.
Okay.
I got all this going on. I'm listening.
So once you get in there, you can create a party. Now here's the cool part about it. So you have Wi-Fi going on at your house. I come over and we're just sitting out having drinks on the deck or whatever. Well, I join your Wi-Fi, I join your party on your UVerse, and I can start importing my songs off of my phone onto this playlist that plays through whatever audio device you have your TV going through.
Sweet.
So he has his actually hooked up through an AV receiver going through the 5.1 surround sound and everything like that. So it was really neat because we actually played the Nintendo Wii while we were listening to music that everybody was putting through there. The good part about it is anybody can start the party.
Oh, wow.
So I can take my smartphone over to your house, I can start the party, and then I have full control over it. I can skip songs and everything like that.
Now, are the songs only what you have on your system itself?
Or on your mobile device.
On your mobile device.
So like on your iPhone, whatever music is in your
iTunes. But if I ain't got any
library.
Songs on my iPhone, then I'm SOL.
Then you
join the party. It's not going to be for you, but you know, you start putting songs on there, and now here's the thing. I don't know if is an iPhone / iPod Touch or whatever. I have an iPod Touch because I'm an Android user. I'm an avid Android user, which is pretty cool because I actually have MP3 downloader, so I get all my songs for free anyway. But aside from that, I don't know if I took my iPod Touch over there, if all my songs on my iPod I could transfer over.
Now, see, I have an iPhone, but I do Spotify.
More than
likely, Spotify, so I can just like have it streaming.
So, well, yeah, but you can't. It's not streaming. It basically takes it over the Wi-Fi signal and it puts it onto your AT&T.
I wonder if Spotify would work with it.
Thing.
No,
I don't think so.
Your music is not physically on your iPhone. It's in Spotify. I have Rhapsody. My music is not physically on my Windows device. It's in Rhapsody.
I see.
So it's actually it's a very, very
what
cool
you're
device.
Saying. You would be able to because the music is physically on the iPod. It's not locked into something else.
Yeah,
you can share that throughout.
That's what I'm thinking. So
absolutely.
I mean, I'm gonna have to try it. And then
next
time I go over there,
the AT&T UVerse jukebox
app.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. And I'll tell you what. And if DirecTV is smart and everything else, that's what they're gonna do because it is the best way to have a house party I've ever seen. Because last night, everybody was joining up and throwing songs on there and. There are a few glitches with it. It's just coming out now. These are things that I talked to him about. Hopefully he can get it back to his development team and they can get some of the stuff taken care of and everything's good.
Interesting. So what's your game off then?
Game off hashtag.
What?
I love hashtag.
Game off hashtag.
Hashtag cookies.
Hashtag
nom 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 nom.
Hashtag real cookie monster. Hashtags are retarded. Hashtags please stop doing that. Hashtag the next time I see somebody go hashtag somewhere, I'm going to punch them in the face.
Who's doing that vocally in front of you? Like, who's doing
that
vocally?
You've never seen this?
Yeah, dude.
I've seen teenagers do it all the time. I saw two girls today in a convenience store doing it.
No, I know that. No, so are you saying to game off physically saying the word hashtag in sentences out loud while you're talking?
Are you
talking about the use of hashtags? Because that's silently while I'm on Twitter, I'll just hashtag something.
Yes,
not bothering
even silently
anybody.
On the use. I don't enjoy it.
Hey, Justin, what's up?
Not much, Jimmy. Hashtag chilling. What's up with you?
Just been busy working. Hashtag rise and grind. Hashtag is it Friday yet?
Hey, check it out. I brought you some cookies. Hashtag homemade. Hashtag oatmeal raisin. Hashtag show me the cookie.
Sweet. Hashtag don't mind if I don't. Pretty good. Hashtag getting my cookie on. Hashtag I'm the real cookie monster. Hashtag no.
Delicious, right? Hashtag I did it all for the cookie. Hashtag LOL.
Hashtag classic. By the way, did you catch last week's episode of Duck Dynasty? Hashtag quack quack.
Nah, lately I've mostly been watching Netflix. Hashtag orange is the new black.
Oh, nice. I've been watching a lot of Barney the Dinosaur. Hashtag purple is the new black. Hashtag I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. Hashtag I'm 38. Hashtag dinosaurs. Hashtag how do they go extinct? Hashtag meteor. Hashtag ice age. Hashtag speaking of ice age, I just watched Ice Age on demand the other day. Hashtag funny. Hashtag Ray Romano. Hashtag Deborah. Deborah.
Okay, see.
Hey, by the way,
great skit. Love the skit, but I cannot stand scrolling through my Facebook page and seeing hashtag this, hashtag this, hashtag that. It's just, it,
I think
it,
I'm just
going to the hell out of me.
Purposely tag you now on Facebook and
I'm
Twitter.
Sure you will.
Do you have Twitter?
No, I don't. I do not do Twitter.
You probably like Twitter more than Facebook.
Probably not, because I know that there's a bunch of hashtags on there.
Not as many as you think.
Upsetting me. So, can I game off one more thing?
Sure, just go
one
ahead. More thing. Why
game
not?
Off Miley Cyrus.
What?
Whoa. That was my game on.
You just punched Bobby in the gut.
All right, well, if we're going to, do we get to do go back through and do another round?
No, we're not going to go back and do it. We only do one round of it. But go ahead. Just explain why.
Really? Okay, Miley back in the day when she was Hannah Montana, good, wholesome type girl. Yeah, I could see her getting just a little bit wild. But now, seriously, the whole twerking thing on whoever that was that she was with the foam finger.
Now, that's Jordan Grace, who was on our last show. Jordan, she's game off twerking. And now you're game offing Miley as a person.
But see, Miley,
I'm game offing Miley because Miley is going down the same road that Lindsay Lohan
love
is.
The new Miley Cyrus.
No, she's not. She's already been down that road, man. She's done. She's cool now. Miley's doing her thing. Like Miley, now she's just said, popular because her music's popular and people like it, right?
And Miley even said on New Year's Eve, she said, "I apologize for the twerking. It was pretty awkward."
Yeah.
She actually apologized for
it. Now, I did not know that. But if that's the case, her whole hairdo
and everything.
She does
have some big horse teeth. She has some big horse teeth.
She doesn't know how to make herself attractive right now.
She's got an awkward midget with her now.
Very, very bad.
The awkward midget was on the New Year's Eve. That thing was hilarious.
She dances with her.
Oh, my goodness. That's like, what was his name? The guy who you come out with? Kid Rock?
Joe C.
I thought he was dead.
He did.
Yeah,
he died from a heart attack.
Yeah, he died. He passed away a few years ago.
Vern Troyer.
At the same point, it's just funny.
I love seeing a good midget on TV.
All right, my game on. My game on this week is going to be the TV show Scandal. If you've not watched this show, it is really, really good, ladies and gentlemen. Kerry Washington is the star. She plays a character named Olivia Pope, who helped this president by the name of Fitzgerald Grant get elected to the White House.
Okay.
And she is one of these high-end, high-thinking power players who kind of is behind the scenes for a lot of people. She's one of those entrenched individuals. Entrenched is the word of the show, by the way. Hashtag entrenched. And so, basically, there is a lot of scandal that goes on in Washington, D.C., especially when it comes down to presidents of the United States. There's always conspiracy theories.
Hashtag Bill Clinton.
And how people get to where they get to. And this show blows my mind on a weekly basis. It's really, really well done. Scandal is a great show. I want everyone out there to go check it out. It's on Netflix Instant. You can download and watch the first season. Actually, the first and second season are both on Netflix.
Oh, it's already two seasons in.
Yeah, they're three seasons in. They're in the middle of their third season right now.
My wife is hooked on that Hostages, which is kind of based about Washington, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shows, but I would recommend Scandal. I think Scandal's it's easy to, it's very accessible. The guy who was in what was the movie with Dave Chappelle? The
Half Baked movie?
Half Baked. He was Yo B, the little
way,
the Mexican Yo B.
Yeah, he's in the show as one of her people. So it's really a good show. It's got a lot, like the guy who played the bad guy in the movie Ghost. He's Fitzgerald Grant. It's got a lot of good players in it, as well as show has got a really great writing style.
It's funny that you say that, because I watched Ghost the other day, and I made me feel entirely too old when I realized that movie is 23 years old.
23 years old, yes. That is old.
I was 20 years old when that movie
23
was made.
Years old, Ghost. I mean, seriously, it's starting to get to that point, because
next year... Yeah, you're starting to look. Yeah,
next year, Toy Story turns 20.
Yeah, next year,
no way.
Encino Man probably turns 20. Honestly, it'd be around the early 90s, 91, 92, 93, somewhere in that range.
Encino Man might already be 20.
Yeah, that's crazy to start thinking about that. People don't even realize, like, I went through a list of movies the other day that are 10 years old. Movies that I just didn't expect to be 10 years old, and they were. It just blew my mind. Okay, my game off, ladies and gentlemen, is $2 tipping to anyone who delivers food to your house. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I was at a friend's house the other night,
uh-huh.
And basically, the delivery driver came. It was a $45 order that he had ordered for this little get-together.
Right.
And he tipped the guy $2. And I about punched him in his face.
A lot of people, though, think, because I have a friend who thinks
it's ingrained. I've talked about this on the show a few years ago, one of the earliest episodes of The Q.
Uh-huh.
It's ingrained in people's psyche that whatever mom and dad did or grandma and grandpa did, that's what I do.
Well, no, a lot of people think that the delivery charge goes to the driver.
Goes directly.
So that's why they only give like $1 or $2.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a point in our history where whatever the gas prices are, literally for a gallon of gas, that should be the minimum tip. That should be
absolute
the minimum tip. I would say on average in 2013, you should probably tip $5. Tip a $5 bill. The person that gets it's going to be happy. You won't look like that you're trying to undercut anybody. Now, I'm not saying that $2. I mean, I get it. It's gratuity. It's not. It's what you decide to give to someone. They're not going to turn their nose up at you for a $2 tip. But $2 is just not helping enough. Like, you really need to, like, put it out there a little
bit. Now, here's a different story, though. If it's $16... go ahead and give them a 20 and tell them to keep the change. They'll still be fine.
That's
with
a $4 tip still. Like,
exactly.
That's a decent tip.
That's a decent tip. But if it's $23 and you hand them $25, it's going to upset your delivery
driver.
It's
$13.50 because you got a special, and then all of a sudden you give them 15, a 10, and a 5.
Yeah.
That's a slap in the face, guys. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
$2 tips are no longer cool.
Yeah.
And if that's all you got in your pocket, you shouldn't be ordering it anyway.
And to people who deliver on a normal basis, you know, like this past weekend, I have some friends who work for a pizza place, and I was trying to help them out. And when I was delivering a pizza for them, it was a $100 check, and the lady gave me $20 as a tip. I went back, and I was like, dude, this lady gave me $20. And they were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky to get $2 from that lady.
Right.
And I was like, well, she gave me a $20 bill and said keep it.
Well, right. I used to deliver for a place, and I can tell you that there were certain addresses that were fought over because they were known good tippers, and there were addresses that were fought over because they were known stiffers.
And
were known stiffers were always known to get their food late as well.
And also at this place, what they did is if they knew someone was going to be a poor tipper, you know, over the years they've always consistently been like that, they automatically double the delivery charge so that you automatically get a tip.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time for us to get out of here on the show. We want to, first off, I got a few people that I want to thank. I want to thank Andy Eckel for coming on the show.
Thanks
I
for
really
having me.
Do appreciate it. Welcome back to the United States.
Hopefully. Next time I'm on, though, there's one request. Next time I'm on, we need to do readers' emails.
Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We do an overtime. If you're downloading this is off the links at the website, theqnow.com, or on your iTunes,
on the like
just notes. Wait until after the show music is done, and then all of a sudden you get a little extra. We call it the overtime. It's going to be happening right after our show on the download only. You got to wait till it loads up to the website for all you guys out there in radio land listening. You got to wait till we load the show up, but then you can skip all the way to the end and listen to that extra audio that we got. Also, we want to thank RadioFooBar.com as well as Tap Detroit. Check out their respective schedule sections on their websites to find out when the show is playing. Also, I want to thank KYRO. 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI for syndicating the show every single week. I appreciate you guys there. Make sure you check out theqnow.com. That's old episodes, new episodes, and all the good stuff. On behalf of Andy Eckel as well as producer Bobby, we want to say stay tuned for overtime. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a fantastic week. We'll see you next time on the show.
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Step by step action. Welcome to Overtime, the first Overtime of 2014. Andy Eccles sitting in with us, along with producer Bobby and myself. And we want to welcome you guys back. Andy, on the main show, was a little worried he wasn't going to get to do any listener emails.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that's just because my most favoritest thing I've ever done with you ever, Mark, was when we were sitting there and we did the listener email about the...
Jar of Hearts?
Jar of Hearts.
Oh, my goodness. That
was fantastic.
Classic moment. In fact, that might be the most classic moment. By the way, if you go to the website, theqnow.com, I did rank out the top five moments in the history of 2013's The Q Shows. That's right. I ranked out the top five moments, and you'll never guess who made number one, who we will probably be having on the show within the next few months. We definitely have to get him back because it is an election year, and he loves pontificating and yelling about liberals and how he hates them. That's just who it is. Take
this,
a wild guess.
This gentleman has an organization.
He does have an organization, yes.
Travis Cook?
He is Travis Cook, ladies and gentlemen.
Travis
Cook, with his announcement on the famous Cook-Bailey debates at the old radio station for the episode of The Q back in March. You can go search up Travis Cook's name at theqnow.com and find that episode. It's called the Cook-Bailey debates. At the end of the show, he decided to let everyone know that they need to hang that president from the highest tree they can find. That was his famous little outro as he blew his...
Wouldn't that be the Christmas tree in Times Square?
I don't know, but he wants to hang the black president from the highest tree he could find. Because hanging is a legal form of execution. I mean, we have used it in our history because I could have chosen any one of them, but I just prefer hanging when it comes to the president of the United States who just happens to also be black. Right. Yeah, he's not a racist.
Hey, also, too,
explain to us, he's not
at
a racist.
DQ Now, if you guys would like to submit, we try and do a theme for every show. If you guys would like to submit a theme for us, go right there to the Contact Us section and shoot us a theme for
the show. We are actually putting together some of the things we're going to do.
As far as music.
Yeah, well,
Theme for music,
yeah. Well, or if you guys have some game on, game offs, things like that,
right.
Always hit us up at the contact section. Plus, don't forget, we are putting together our little list of all the goodies that are coming up here events-wise in the St. Louis area. So anybody in the region who can get to St. Louis for any of our events, we'll be giving away tickets on the website, as
Absolutely.
Usual, because we love giving tickets away to you guys. In fact, you said TNA coming back?
WWE is coming back
that's
with
right.
a house show.
That's right. The WWE house show is coming back here in just a few weeks. So maybe we'll have some giveaways for you
guys.
Is
that on Tuesday or Wednesday?
It's on a Wednesday, I believe, and so is Monster Jam.
Oh.
We are working on some stuff for Monster Jam. 2014 is going to be a huge year for the Q, so make sure you guys don't miss any of it.
All right, let's get into some questions and emails from the listeners, because that's why we like to do Overtime.
Absolutely.
As Andy Eccles prepared for these relationship advice moments.
Yes, because this is where I need to shine. This is what I need to be an entrepreneur at, because I can give all kinds of good relationship advice.
I think that is...
I can't follow it, but goddamn, I can give
he
it.
He is horrible at giving relationship advice, but that's what makes the show so much more entertaining.
Let's no, I'm honest. Actually great at giving relationship
advice. No, you're
advice.
Not, and let's move on.
Well, let's... Right. Let's take a poll someday.
All right. Let's take a poll and put it in places. Okay. Now, my younger sister, Mark, just started dating for the first time after breaking up with her fiance over 2 years ago. The problem is that she, to put it bluntly, is prude. She always has been this way, and still, even after losing her virginity. When she was telling me about their first date, she mentioned that he called her beautiful and she felt that it was inappropriate so early in the relationship. She also told him that he was too soon for that when he attempted to hold hands. He was very respectful about it, but didn't even try to kiss her on the first date. However, I don't know how many guys our age would wait weeks for just the first kiss. I was really excited when I heard that this guy had asked for her number. I used to work with the guy, and I think he would be really good for her. She has dated some awful men in the past, and I would hate to see her push away a guy who would treat her so well. We were both raised in the same environment. Our mother's sex talk to us at 16 is a bit too young, but 18 is a good age. Just use protection. Another of the memorable remarks was, why would you want to wait until marriage? You have to find out what's out there and what you like. Yet, whenever sex is mentioned, she covers her ears and plays the earmuffs game of la, 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 la.
Good.
I don't understand why she is like this. Does anyone on your show have any insight as to why she is put off by sex and how I could possibly talk her to being about more open to experiences and the normal part of life that we all enjoy?
Before Andy gets going, because I can just see Andy's face.
He is ready,
ready to go.
Andy's like, listen, you just send her over to my house for half an hour and I'm going to take care of all the business.
Look, being a father,
patriotism.
I'm pretty excited, actually, for this girl because of the fact that she is actually doing something that most girls nowadays do not do. Yes. And that is sticking to her laurels. She is saying she is not going to do this until marriage. She wants to take it at her pace, not at the guy's pace, which could potentially be getting pregnant off the first date. And that is awesome for her. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't make fun of your sister. Maybe you should take her example and go with it.
I'm run with it a little bit. Okay, Andy Eckel.
I actually agree. I agree with producer Bobby.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
But. There's always going to be a but.
The other shoe drops.
The other shoe does drop. Look, back in the 1800s, yeah, you married young. You got in young. I mean, hell, people were still arranging marriages back then, okay? So you never did understand what was going on. Nowadays, there's a lot of people that are very promiscuous. There's a lot of good experiences out there to those who want to go out and find them.
Fair enough, fair enough.
And I can honestly say that most people that are turned off by sex...
And Andy will make sure that you get to enjoy all of those experiences...
All of those good experiences.
With him.
Hey,
with him.
I'm just saying, most people that are turned off by sex are turned off because they've had bad, horrible sex.
No, that's very true.
At whatever kind of... Right. Whatever experience it was. If you're with somebody who knows what they're doing, you're going to just find it amazing. No matter what you... I mean, that's the biggest relief of endorphins that your body can do, and that makes you just feel absolutely amazing.
You make a girl feel special, Andy.
I do.
That's
man.
All I'm saying.
I can wine them, dine them, take
Andy's
them home.
Andy's kind of making me feel
them.
Special.
He's kind of making Bobby feel special over here. That's what I'm saying.
But on the flip side of that, endorphins. If a girl wants to sit there and say that she wants to wait till she's married to do something, I feel that, you know, if you're going to be respectful and you actually want to do that with her, you know, hey, saddle up, dude. You know, you got to be in for the long haul on girls like that, and I understand
absolutely.
That. And there are girls like that out there, and I have no problem.
Here's the thing. You just can't push a person when it comes to things like that.
Right.
Everybody's got to go at their own pace, and everybody's got to experience things the way that they want to experience.
Generally at a medium pace.
You just cannot. Yeah. Yeah. But you can't.
I'm hoping for a Ferrari speed.
The thing is that you just can't push a person. And there's really no insight we can give you as to why this individual is like this. It could be what Andy said, a bad sexual experience. It could be just a person who likes to take things slower.
Maybe they've seen things
around friends of mine.
Them.
I know friends of mine who are married to girls who were like devoutly prude Christian girls.
Right.
And once they got married, these girls opened up a whole bunch to their husbands, of course.
Right.
But they opened up a ton the way that they went before they got married. It's fine. Like they're happy in their marriage and everybody's fine with it. But at the same point, everybody goes at their own pace. So right. I really wouldn't worry about it too much. I don't think it's that big of a deal. All right.
Okay.
Here we go, Andy. You're going to love this one. I think you're going to love this one more than anything. Okay.
More than Jar of Hearts.
Mark, my mother is currently next door crying at the neighbor's house. Yes, she is Asian. My mother and I are alone in this world. My father abandoned us when I was 14. She went through hell to raise me. I'm 28 with a master's degree and a stable job. My girlfriend, well, she is 23 in college and outgoing. My mother hates the fact that she has a tattoo and dyes her hair, slept with other men before, and thinks that the girl is a lazy whore who is just after an easy life. I love her. I think I do anyway. My mother says she will disown me if I don't breakers it off with her, Mark. If you have ever been in this situation before, please let me know what you did and how it turned out. Now,
that's all
I have never been in that situation before. I've had friends who've been in situations where the girl obviously was not the cup of tea for the parents,
right.
Or the guy was not the cup of the tea for the girl's parents. And you can't fix love. Like, you just can't. Either it's going to happen or it's not. Your mom just seems to be, in my opinion, she's just overly emotional about this stuff.
Well, also, too, you know, I don't know if the parent came straight from Asia, like, or if they were born, you know, whatever. But it seems very old school culture-wise. Like, she's trying to, you know, remember how things were, you know, maybe if they were from, you know, Taiwan,
right,
China, whatever.
Right, of course.
She seems very, you know, built on that old school culture. and that's why she's having a problem. But he said she's 23. She goes to school. Why would the mom think she's a lazy whore?
Because she's got tattoos on her body. So it's just stereotypes is what Correct. It comes down to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be willing to bet that your mom probably drives with her left blinker on for 5 miles.
45 minutes.
Can you imagine the 23-year-old girl finds out this information? Your mom's where? She's crying because of me and tattoos? She doesn't think that I'm a good person? Isn't she supposed to be doing some calculations on math or something somewhere right now?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of stereotypes are you
doing? Aren't there nails to be done somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. So man. I don't think that this is a situation. Once again, there's nothing that you can do about this. Your mom is going to be your mom. Either your girlfriend's going to have to accept it, or you're just going to have to find a way to explain to your mom that your love life, and it's not her business. And you want her to respect the person, but get to know her, and that's about it. Like, there's nothing more you can do. You can't force a person to love someone they don't love.
Pretty much.
All right. Some questions from the listeners before we get out of here on overtime. What, Andy, is your all-time favorite PC game?
Oh, shit.
PC game.
Droid.
Droid?
Was it Droid? Or was it something like that? I forget what it was.
Was it Druid?
No. It was for the Apple IIe. Okay. And it was like this old-school thing, and you like had to... It was like beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. And it was pretty cool. It was fun for back in the day.
Droid. You know? All right.
I think that's what it was. Droid, Drool, something like that.
Mine is a tie between two. Oregon Trail and Super Munchers.
Love Oregon Trail. And I don't know what Super Munchers is, but if it has anything to do with what I'm thinking, I'm in, because I could probably use some of that right now.
All right. I am going to say my favorite PC game of all time is actually the original Max Payne for the PC.
Sweet.
Loved Max Payne. Max Payne was an amazing game. It was only on the PC, and then it eventually got to the home systems, but... Max Payne, you have to play Max Payne with a keyboard and a mouse. That is the only way. I've tried to play it the other way with a
with a regular
keyboard,
controller.
Mouse. Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 4 is an amazing game.
Absolutely.
On the PC, it's actually just as good, and I feel it flows better on the PC with a keyboard and a mouse.
That's... A friend of mine said he likes playing Call of Duty better on the PC.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
What about
the movement actions?
What about the game where you have to type whatever you want to do?
Oh, I don't know.
The game Sheldon plays all the time on The Big Bang Theory. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, that's a horrible show. Nobody really watches it.
Hey,
I'm going to have to say that you're wrong on that one, because The Big Bang Theory is just absolutely funny.
Thank you.
Anyway, I loved it the first time around when it was called Roseanne.
It's
cool.
Funny. But no, it's basically it's like, okay, a troll approaches you from the bridge and you have to go north. Or go south, and then
it's like a text-based game.
Yeah, text-based game.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Because
all right, last one. What last one? We're gonna have to do this one quickly.
Okay.
What is the do you have some music for our outro?
I got you.
What is the stupidest fad you've ever participated in, Andy? I could go
that I've ever participated in.
Stupidest fad.
Tight rolling
your jeans. What about you?
High waters.
For me, it's tight rolling. Oh, stupidest fad we've ever, ever done was tight rolling our jeans.
Yeah, but it was bomb back in the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. I want to thank Andy Eckel as well as producer Bobby. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you guys next time on The Q. Everywhere you look, everywhere you look.